the shame of feeling like I hated my body, or even this perception of me thinking I looked a certain way and wanted to look a different way. And then, yeah, I think that was probably the biggest struggle. And then with something that, like I said, I struggled with, like low self-worth and just feeling like I wanted to be or look a certain way and wasn't achieving that. And
what's up, everyone? You're listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. The purpose of this show is to share stories of hardship and victory as an encouragement for those in the middle of their own hard thing. Because we know hardship produces perseverance, which produces character, which ultimately produces hope.
Today's guest is Tayshia Percevich. Tayshia is a former competitive gymnast, a CrossFit Games champion, and coach for current athlete Haley Adams. Tayshia talks about overcoming an eating disorder and the people who've helped shape her positive identity today. If you enjoy the show, please don't forget to subscribe and make sure you leave a review so more people can be encouraged by the stories we share. Now here's the conversation with Tayshia Percevich. All right, Tayshia. Good to have you on the Do Hard Things podcast. For those who maybe aren't as familiar, when people ask you what you do, like, what do you tell them?
Well, thank you so much, first off, for having me on the podcast. I'm really excited to be here. I have done a lot of things in my life when it comes to at least jobs. Usually I would think, okay, what do I do for a job? Right now, my focus is actually school. So I am in a couple of nutrition classes, one called the Nutritional Therapy Practitioner Program, taking my precision nutrition. And then I'm also in Kelly Strett's mobility course. So a little bit of a different dive off nutrition. And then my focus too is helping Haley at CrossFit Mayhem on her journey through the CrossFit Games. But yeah, I have worked a lot of jobs. So that was what I'm currently doing now.
So what is precision nutrition?
So it's just a nutrition course that helps give you the tools to learn how to nutrition coach and things like that. Nutrition is a huge passion of mine, and it's something that has been a big part of my life from a young age, growing up as a gymnast, to competing in CrossFit, to now, you know, just aiming towards being the healthiest version of myself.
Yeah. Did you ever think this is like what you'd be doing when you were, I don't know, even in college, and here you are coaching and doing nutrition class? Like, was this on your radar?
Oh, not at all. I grew up as a young girl wanting to be a doctor, and I actually got my bachelor's in biology. And post college, I started doing clinical hours for a PA school. And at the same time is when I kind of discovered CrossFit and decided to dive into that and start competing. And with the idea of, I can come back to PA school, I'll just, you know, put this on the side burner. And here I am now.
Just like, it seems like so many people like, oh, I'm just going to try this CrossFit thing. And then just, they get sucked in, whether it's because they love the intensity or they love the community, or maybe they love both, or maybe they found some success in it and it's like worth pursuing further. What was it originally about CrossFit that drew you into it? And then maybe has that same thing been what's kept you in it, or are there different things now?
So originally, I competed in gymnastics as a young age and then through college. So my entire life when it came to fitness was very much regimented, where someone told me how to work out and what to do. And I love the weight room. I love the training and the conditioning part that came with gymnastics. But when I graduated college, I felt like I was at this loss of, I don't know how to train myself, because I've had somebody tell me what to do for the entire 18 years of my life. And so I decided to jump in, start trying CrossFit. Actually, somebody who I was friends with asked me to do a scaled competition, like a partner scaled. And I was like, sure, I'll do this competition, but I really want to try out what it is first. And I remember just going to the CrossFit class and just feeling super empowered being there, of like these women, you know, lifting weights and working out. And I had a natural ability just because of my gymnastics background. I had like good body awareness. I was already kind of strong, especially in my upper body, which usually for women takes a little bit longer to build. The community aspect, and I'm naturally competitive. So there's like this little bit of a compete part to it that really drew me in originally. I think now, obviously, the community is a huge part of why I love CrossFit. I think it is such a unique space where we can, especially for women, empower women to, you know, be strong, to work hard, to not let what, you know, someone might tell you, a limit they put on you or someone who doubts you hold you back, that you can go out and do this thing, you can lift that way. And it really taught me a lot about myself and challenged me in ways physically, mentally, emotionally that I had no idea was going to happen. So I think the community is a huge part of what keeps me coming back. And I think it's just fun. I think CrossFit's super fun. And that's why I love it too.
Yeah. Yeah. So do you foresee yourself always being involved in it at this point?
Yeah, to some capacity, for sure. Whether that's taking CrossFit classes, I'll always be a member of a CrossFit gym for sure. Using the methodology, as far as I think it's a great way to, you know, work out. So yeah, for the rest of my life, I'm sure it'll be part.
Yeah. Do you foresee yourself, because you're in Tennessee now with the Mayhem crew, do you foresee yourself wanting to just ride that? I don't want to call it a wave. It's not a wave, but like be a part of that group and community, because it's a unique community for the foreseeable future. And maybe you don't know the answer, but just curious, because, you know, sometimes those are short stops.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, Tennessee, when I originally came here, I did not have plans to be rooted here. And that was just because I was so in love with where I was before I came. But it has definitely stolen my heart. I love, you know, the community here. I'm so grateful that for everything Mayhem has been in my life. And that's, you know, from a competitive space to a workspace to the community space, it has been absolutely wonderful. So I definitely foresee myself being in Tennessee for a little bit longer.
Yeah. And what makes, I've asked one other person this, and I'm curious what your answer is, but what makes Mayhem different from all the other different groups that you can join and training programs you can follow and communities that you can be a part of in CrossFit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I hate to keep saying community, but I feel like the community part is so powerful here. And it, you know, what's really unique about Mayhem is it's not just within the gym itself, CrossFit Mayhem. It actually reaches to a bunch of different parts of the country and the world, which makes it really fun and just kind of the melting pot type vibe of people coming in from all different places to train and be a part. That makes it super unique and wonderful.
So it's the community, because a lot of people, I think, would say that's, you know, what they love about whatever program they've chose. So is there something unique or different about the Mayhem community that is specific or draws you to that community over others?
I think for me personally, the aspect of loving and serving others was like a huge part. Like, it really helped me build my faith. So in my faith walk, that was a huge draw for me personally that made it stick out and really make a difference in my life.
Helped you build your faith, like, because you just had to like practice what it is you said you believed, or what was it that helped you grow?
I think being surrounded by other believers. I had never in my life been part of a community that was with other believers. And so it gave me the opportunity to, like, the Into the Storm podcast was something that Mayhem put on, where we like kind of, you know, went through Bible scripture, me and a few other people, and challenge me in that way to kind of just, you know, be in the word consistently and then talk about it with other people. And I feel like that, and then also just the challenges that I faced while I was competing, that really grew me spiritually, created a great atmosphere for growth for me.
Can you talk about that? Like what you just said, physical challenges that grew you spiritually. I think people disconnect those two things a lot of the time. Like, oh, this is an isolated physical thing and it only has an impact. Maybe, I mean, some people will connect mental, you know, I think that happens pretty regularly, but spiritual to like the physical is not super common. But how does that happen?
I think it's super layered. The first thing that jumps to my mind is working out to worship music is something that I'd never done before. I now, from that, jumping into that and really experiencing that space of just praising God while you work out, like being, it brings me back. Like when I think about some of the really hard workouts and hearing worship while I'm like in the middle of it and just like thanking God for my body that I'm able to be in this place where I'm training to compete as a world champion, like something that I never thought possible for my life. And just like the gratitude that comes through that. And also him, like his voice or his promises being spoken over me as I'm in the middle of a physical workout. So I think that is a huge part of it too. And just the discipline of training your body and committing to something. And I think when I mean layered, I think there's so many good things. And then just like anything in life, CrossFit can become an idol. And I know that that is something that I struggled with at one point in my CrossFit career. Even when I would have never been like, yes, CrossFit is an idol. I'm like, no, my identity is totally in Christ and all these things, you know, and I really meant that. And I truly believe that. And then when it was taken away from me or felt like it was being taken away from me is when I had the realization that maybe it was an idol in my life. So I think there's layers to it. And all of those together have helped me grow and understand myself better. And that's super important.
Yeah. I think I saw, when I was preparing for this, I think I saw that you had, I think it was a podcast episode. I can't remember what the podcast was, but it was titled like CrossFit is not your identity. And I'd be curious, like, so I was a former college basketball player and identity. And then I spent a lot of time with college students doing some sport ministry stuff. And the conversation or like just the big challenge is like identity. You know, you are not first and foremost an athlete. And so like in the CrossFit community, how prevalent is that conversation?
I'm not sure if the conversation itself is super prevalent, but I think just it is prevalent itself in the sense of we're battling not only, you know, our value being based on your performance at a certain competition or something. Like my first year competing on the team, I was so wrapped up in so much pressure that I was putting on myself to, you know, win the CrossFit Games, seeing as Mayhem had come off a second place before they had taken me on. And like this idea that if I did not succeed, that I was a complete failure. And that like, I literally couldn't think past like how that would destroy my life when it totally would not. But but that was like my thought process that I couldn't, that when I won the CrossFit Games, I remember the only feeling I had was relief and being kind of saddened by that feeling of all that hard work and fruition, just to be like, thank God that's over. And I was able to step into, you know, change that perspective in the following year, in 2019, when I competed again with Mayhem. But I think it is something we, CrossFit athletes or athletes in general struggle with, because we are so disciplined to try and be the best that we can be. And then I think social media adds another layer to this struggle that has kind of, I've been like witnessing a little bit through it just growing up in my space. Cause when I was competing early on in my life, we didn't have social media or anything like that, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's another challenge that adds to, you know, believers these days when it comes to identity.
Yeah. And as a like coach now, like, do you find it to be more valuable when you can set, like say, no, this isn't true. I'm not defined by this thing. Do you find like performance to be better as an athlete? Or do you think that that doesn't really have as much, it's not a significant factor?
I think it's a very significant factor. I think that when you can compete or do anything from a place of freedom, that you're going to perform better. And I really experienced that because I'm grateful I had 2 years where I competed at the CrossFit Games and 2 years where I was able to win with Mayhem Freedom. And my first year was like this pressure filled, anxiety, you know, ridden relief. You know, I won a gold medal. Cool. Thank God. And then the next one, I really got to live it, to be out there and enjoy the fruits of my labor, the things that I had worked so hard for. And both years, I've said this on many podcasts, but a gold medal is super fleeting and meaningless in a lot of ways. But the experience and the process and the journey of truly trying to be like, no, like my value is not based on how well I do. I can compete from a place where I'm like filled with joy, filled with peace going out onto the floor, ready to perform. I think it plays a significant factor. And that doesn't mean that I just wanted to go out and bomb. Obviously, I wanted to go do well. But if I were to perform poorly, then I can set that behind and remind myself that that's not who I am. It's just a piece. It's something I do. And I think competing or doing anything from a place of freedom will help you perform better.
Yeah. That's an appropriate name for the team then. Mayhem Freedom, right? And the irony, right, of year one of not feeling free, you know, and like getting to redeem that year two is like such a cool gift, it sounds like, for you in your story. Speaking of your story, this idea of doing hard things is like super embedded in, I think, athletes, or at least athletes that compete at a high level. This podcast and this conversation doesn't have to be limited to athletic endeavors. And I think what's so cool is that, you know, high level athletes are still just, they're your people who have stories. And so I'm curious, when we think about this question of what is the hardest thing in your life that you wouldn't take back, what that story is for you.
Sure. Yeah, that is a very challenging question.
Yeah.
Because I think so many of the hard things we face, really, although in the moment they're filled with such pain and suffering, they refine us and God can use them all for good. So when I was thinking on this question, I think something that's been just really prevalent throughout my young female life to even now is my battle with disordered eating and body dysmorphia, and how like sport has really challenged that in good ways and bad ways. And I wouldn't take it back, because I think, like I said, it's really refined me. It's made me more resilient. It has made me more empathetic, more compassionate, more loving. It has actually given me this avenue that I'm pursuing right now, where I want to help other women with their nutrition journey and the struggles that they have, and reminding people that women especially is my heart. I know I keep always like, not that men don't face the same challenges, but they do, but just that they're not alone in it. And that this new challenge we have with social media, it can really distort your view of who you are. And yeah, I just, as best I can, want to help, you know, women step into all they're created to be. And I think without this struggle in my life, I'm not sure I'd be able to do it as well, because I wouldn't have lived it. And when you live something, you really have great understanding, appreciation, and respect for it. And yeah, it's something that you kind of are like, I wish it didn't exist, but also I'm so grateful for it at the same time.
Yeah. So when did it become like an ongoing battle for you? How old were you? And do you remember like what was happening in your mind to kind of like get you to that point? The things that you were going back and forth?
Yeah, sure. So like I said, I did gymnastics from age 5, and gymnastics taught me so many wonderful things like hard work, dedication, sacrifice, you know, great body awareness, things like that. But it also, I think the culture kind of is known for the struggle with eating disorders and body dysmorphia. I remember I started getting weight and body fat tested at a very young age, maybe 12 or 13. And yeah, that's when I think that's when I really remember having feelings of being too big. Of I build muscle really easily. I'm 5'5", which for a gymnast is relatively, or back in the day, that was like kind of tall. I wasn't 5'5 at 12, but like I knew I was destined to be taller than what was ideal for gymnastics. And so from a young age, I remember really wanting to be smaller, just to be a smaller person so that I could be better at gymnastics, and feeling like as I were to gain weight or things on my regular weighing and body fat testing, that I was doing something wrong. When in fact, looking back with greater wisdom, I was growing, you know, I was prepubescent at 12. So like I was growing up, and that's when I first originally started struggling. And then, so if that's from age 12 through, you know, high school, college, just going through ups and downs of still, yeah, really struggling with my eating as far as restriction, trying to compete in a high level sport. And like, I really struggled with low self-worth and things like that, that have been a battle to kind of combat throughout my life.
Yeah. And do you feel like you had an out, like, was that all internalized and processed, or were there people that you were working through it with throughout that span of time? Like, were you alone?
Originally, for a long time, I would say it was something that I kept, you know, secret, or as secret as would be. You know, obviously girls on the team and things like that, a lot of women within the sport, we experienced similar things. So you had like your teammates, but it maybe wasn't necessarily a way to come out of it. It was just a way to talk about it. And then actually I started working with a nutritionist when I got into CrossFit in 2000. I think I started working with Mike in 2015, maybe, where he started helping me just understand nutrition better, because I wasn't taught anything about it growing up. And I was eating in a very big deficit for trying to compete at the CrossFit Games. And so working with him towards just understanding food better and understanding fueling my body and what that looked like. And then in the last couple of years, I've sought out therapy and have great people around me who have spoken life into me. And something I am like such a huge proponent of is speaking God's truth over not only myself, but other people. Between those factors, that has really helped me. And I think I've seen the most change and growth in the last few years. So those beginning years were kind of riddled with definitely a sense of aloneness in that, and shame that surrounded it.
Yeah. So the shame part of it, like, cause it sounds like the motivation was to be successful. Yeah. You wanted to be the highest performing gymnast that you could be. So the motivation in and of itself wasn't wrong, so to speak. Sure. So where did like the shame, where did that come from? Like, what was it rooted in? Was it, cause it was, I don't think it was your motivation, or, and maybe it was, but what caused that?
I think just the shame of feeling like I hated my body, or even this perception of me thinking I looked a certain way and wanted to look a different way. And then, yeah, I think that was probably the biggest struggle. And then with something that, like I said, I struggled with, like low self-worth and just feeling like I wanted to be or look a certain way and wasn't achieving that. And because those things that I wanted weren't naturally or healthy, good for my body.
Yeah. And then now with this like freedom, it sounds like that you're walking in, what have been some of the like promises and things that God says that have been the most formative for you?
Sure. So I think just reminding, like, something that I say, not only to myself, but to people, is that you're loved, you're fearfully and wonderfully made. You know, you're valuable, you're worthy, like you have a purpose for your life. Like, I'm more than my body. Yeah, I think all those things are good reminders, not only to myself, but to other people.
Yeah. So was there anybody like along the way in the however many years that was, that gave you good advice or that kind of like encouraged your spirit during the whole thing?
There's definitely like a couple of people, but I'm going to shout out Jim Hensel. He's like Mayhem mindset coach here. And when I came to Mayhem, he kind of took me under his wing and really encouraged me as a strong male figure in my life along the way, just reminding me of God's truth. I, you know, became a believer later in life. So having someone like him, like I consider him my wise counsel, who, you know, is very rooted in God's word, and he can articulate it probably better than me, and by probably definitely better than me. But to have someone to express those things to as far as like a father figure, and for him to come back with truth and not always the fluffy stuff, right? Like, that's something I really respect about him, and I'm grateful for him, is he's told me the truth in instances when I really didn't want to hear the truth. Like,
yeah,
I wanted him to be like, yeah, I totally agree with you. You're right in this. And he'd always be like, what you're feeling is okay, but this is the truth. Like you're holding yourself back, or you're, you know, doing this. And I think he really does a great job at balancing grace and truth. And that's something that I aim to replicate in my own way when I interact with, you know, people.
Yeah. Yeah. So grace and truth, easier said than done. Any tips or wisdom on how to balance both of those, like, especially as a coach, because you have this like unique power. So like, I guess, for lack of a better word, over somebody's life as a coach, like what you say really matters. And so how do you, and this would be true of somebody who's a boss or a parent, like when you have authority in a realm, like how do you do that well?
It's difficult. It's a balance. And I'm not saying that I do it super well. I tend to sometimes lean way to the far end of grace. One thing that I do believe, though, is not only speaking truth or something, but being truthful with someone means you care about them. Like, I want someone to be truthful with me, you know? So I think there's a way to be truthful without being mean. And you have a relationship with someone and you really care about them, you'll want them to tell you the truth. It's something that I'm learning, you know, right now. And with someone like Haley, since I, you know, help her, I always come from the lens of loving her first. And how can I best love her? And then at this moment, whatever she's feeling, do I need to be more filled with grace, or do I need to be more filled with truth? And so I think part of it is reading the room, or, you know, understanding the emotion. And that's where, you know, being a woman, me, who's competed at the same level as her, she's definitely better, but like competed at the CrossFit Games, you know, experience the things she's experienced, I have greater understanding of those things. So I can speak better to them than maybe somebody who hasn't. And that I think is super valuable. Just like the person who might not be able to stand competing at the CrossFit Games could understand something totally different that I can't. So learning how to really understand the person you're talking with is what matters. And most of the time when you're in a situation like that, it's going to be with somebody that you have a relationship with. So you can learn that balance.
Yeah, totally. It takes time, right? To be able to do that really well. You could think that you have that permission and probably have things not land the way you want them to, because you don't fully understand the person, or you don't have their full trust or something like that.
I think that's something that is okay too, at the same time, as long as we're humble enough to be like, I'm sorry, you know, I overstepped, or I was wrong in that instance. And that's not to say just go out and speak and be like, you know, try and tell people the truth. Obviously we want to make sure, like you said, you have a relationship, you spent time with someone, but if you do overstep, you can say sorry, and hopefully that can be mended. And I think, you know, God has taught me so much about humility from being, I mean, just my entire life, but especially through the ups and downs of my CrossFit career, that as believers, we really want to aim towards walking with a humble spirit and a spirit of humility. And it's okay to be wrong, and it's okay to mess up, and it's okay to say you're sorry, to repent and to turn and to like all those things. So from someone, me, who's very hard on myself, learning to just be humble and to try and walk with that is, I think that's really where the magic is, I guess.
Oh, that's such a good way to put it. There's so much magic in it, and it like feels counterintuitive. And there's so many examples I can think of in my own life, whether it's me or somebody else, where it's like they push into the pride space and it didn't work out so well. And, you know, currently for me, the really practical place that humility like is hard, but really good, is as a parent. There's so many opportunities for me to say, I'm sorry, you know, like not the most patient and grace-filled person with my kids. Like, I have really high expectations, even though they're kind of little. My wife lets me know that. And, you know, it's like, well, I think I was right, but they probably were hurt by that. Like, that probably wasn't the best way. And I should apologize. And I wish I could say that I was really good at that, but I'm like still growing into that. And it is so encouraging as a Christian to like, know, one, you're not defined by those things, but then two, like in the failure, you just like, all it is like an opportunity for more of Jesus. It's like, oh, I just get to ask Jesus for more help because I see the gap, you know, which I don't know, when I shifted that in my mind, I was like, oh, this is an opportunity rather than a failure, way easier to stomach, you know?
Yeah, I actually love that. I'm going to use that going forward, an opportunity for more Jesus, which is really beautifully said.
Yeah, it took a lot of being humbled to like come to that point. Like, I remember reading that story in the Bible of when Jesus is getting his feet washed by a prostitute. And I had always read it like, because he says, you know, for who much has been forgiven, like they're able to love more. And I was like, oh, well, she was a prostitute. And the other guy in the room was a like Pharisee, a church guy. Like, she sinned more so she could receive. And, but the reality was like, God saw them both equally. She just saw her need more. And so she could receive more. And I was like, that's what this is all about. Is it like, as a Christian, I'm not supposed to be perfect. Like, I'm supposed to be the person who's messed up and knows it's okay. And I just get more of Jesus. Light bulb. Yeah. That's so freeing, you know?
It is.
So anyways, I'm glad you touched on that idea of humility. It's not talked about enough. So that may be your advice, but I'm curious, what is your advice for people in the middle of their like own difficult thing?
Yeah, that's good. I think always want to start with, you're not alone. Like, you're loved, you're valuable, you're worthy. This pain will come to an end. There is joy in the morning, you know, and it sounds like slogany, but it's just the truth. Jesus tells us that these things will be used for good. So to just not pretend like it's not there. Like, I never want to be a proponent or a person saying, you know, just pretend like, don't feel the things, pretend like it's not real. Like, it's okay to feel sad. It's okay to feel down. It's okay to be struggling, to cry, to, you know, to be angry with God, to argue with God, to do all those things, but don't stay there, to keep coming forward. And sometimes it's one step at a time, one day at a time, maybe 1 hour at a time, 1 minute at a time. And, you know, that's okay. And I think having hope and just reminding yourself that God is good and it can be used for good, and we won't fully understand it. And one of the verses that I truly, truly love is that God's ways are higher than our ways and his thoughts are higher than our thoughts, because that brings me so much comfort. I used to really not like that verse. I'm like, well, I mean, that doesn't help me anything at all. I'm like, cool. But it brings me a lot of comfort because he can see the full picture, where I can only see this thing that's right in front of my face. And a lot of the really, you get like tunnel vision on your pain or suffering or something you're going through, when God can see the whole picture. So biggest thing would be, you're not alone. You know, and God is with you in that. Jesus has felt all the things we have felt, and he gets it, and he's there. So
What changed your perspective on that verse? Like, I mean, that's a hard thing to like be okay with, because I think we all want to know why is this thing happening, why did that happen, how come this happened to me, God? Like, that's where we all go in our hard time, at least initially, is like, well, tell me. And then that's the answer. Well, you won't understand it. So how'd you get to the point where that was like encouraging for you?
I think I've just seen so many times the pain or the suffering or the trials and be used for good in my life. Be, you know, I've seen God be faithful in it, and I've seen God, like even us talking, you know, back about some of the hard things that have really formed who I am and who I want to be, and the, you know, given me a heart for certain things that I, you know, don't know what if that would have otherwise happened. And yeah, like even stepping away from competing in CrossFit felt like my world is being taken away. And God has brought so much goodness out of it that literally my brain could not have fathomed. Like it could not see. Like I could not see how he thought this was the right thing for me. And then, you know, hindsight, look back a year later and you're like, wow, thank God that was taken away from me, because where I'm at now is just something I couldn't have imagined. So I think just seeing God's faithfulness through those hard times over and over again has changed that verse for me.
Yeah. So it's to like, I think this is what you're saying. So like understanding that who he says he is true, like, and being able to trust him, like gave you the ability to believe those words.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, I probably went a roundabout way to get there, but yes, like seeing, being able to trust that he sees more than me and he knows more than me, because if I chose my way, it would definitely be not as fruitful as the way that he had.
And he's for you. Yeah. He's a good, good God. Yeah. That's super comforting, because there's a lot of stuff we don't understand and maybe won't ever understand.
Yeah.
Like even scripture, I think, you know, it says like Abraham was believing the promise, even though he like never fully like realized it. That's a possibility for us. Yeah, just got to trust that God is who he says he is, I suppose, which sometimes is easier said than done, probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
The last question I have for you is like, is there a hard thing that you're in the middle of right now?
Yes. I think life is interesting because we tend to go through hard things our entire lives, right? Whether that's a really big hard thing or a little hard thing, we'll be facing challenges our entire life. And I think for me, I'm in kind of like this weird season of transition that I've been feeling kind of like I'm in an unknown space of exactly what looks like next for me. Yeah. Like I'm in these nutrition classes, and not to go into crazy details, but just this feeling of, you know, wanting to have clarity in places and to like want to be patient, because I know God's calling me to be patient, but feeling a little bit lost in the unknown. And so not necessarily a concrete hard thing, but just the challenge of feeling in transition and in change, and trying to trust that what God has for me, he has for me, and it's not something I have to rush into. And I think today's culture, really, we face the struggle of this instant gratification, or like, we want it to happen now. And, you know, when things take time, and what God has for you is not, he's got it for you. So you can trust that it'll be on his timetable, and that will be the right timetable. So I think that's the biggest challenge for me right now.
Yeah. Yeah. The story in the Bible that's super encouraging for me is Moses. Like, because you read the Bible stories, you're like, I want that guy's life or that woman's life. You know, we see the highlights. But when you think about Moses's life, you know, like he was used in really profound ways. He wrote some of the Bible but for 40 years, he was just hanging out with Pharaoh, you know, in the palace until he killed somebody. And then he had to run for his life. And it was 40 more years before God called him. Yeah. And it was like a day, you know, and like, you know, I'm like, oh, what God, what do you have for me? And it's like, it could be 40 years from now before. Yeah. And like, he could still be really profound. And I was like, okay, I don't have to like pressure myself to be Moses like today, you know?
Sure.
And that was really encouraging, because I like, you know, just think it has to be now. Yeah. I mean, I'm confident, like you were saying, that God has something really good in store for you. And it sounds like he has you in a really good place right now to be a, like an influence in a positive way in a lot of people's lives. Like just the fact that like you get to share your story right now is pretty cool, and God's using it, I'm sure. That's my prayer anyways. So to wrap up, Tayshia, how can people who maybe this is their first time like interacting with you, hearing your story, like how could they follow you or find you or get in touch with you if they had questions and wanted to connect? What's the best way for them to go about that?
So right now, the best way is probably Instagram. So my name is Tayshia Persevich on Instagram, which is a difficult name, but it's the only one out there. So that's probably the best way. I do have a website, tayshia-persevich.com, that you can find me there as well.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully people reach out if they, you know, were encouraged and they can connect and ask questions or whatever. I'm sure it would be really meaningful. That's the whole point of this whole thing. So, well, thank you, Tayshia, for hopping on. This is fun. Hear your story. Thanks for your honesty. And I hope that it'll be an encouragement for somebody.
Yes, me too. Thank you so much for having me. I had a great time chatting with you.
Thanks for listening to the Do Hard Things podcast by Elite SRS. We hope you're encouraged today and have a newfound hope to persevere. Be sure to subscribe for more great episodes and conversations. And if you ever want to watch an episode, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/ElitesRS. Have a blessed day.